Yes, we're back, keeping the ball on the ground. Need to mention our good sponsors, William Hill, what a team. Join today, bet £10, you get a free £30 bet. And the fabulous Black Rooster, what a gaff, get yourself up. Very special one today, we've got the Madman Slaney in. Thank God Kev Kyle's away, so we've drafted in the main man, the Beatty Boy. Beats, what's happening?
Not a lot, mate.
You good?
Delighted to be in here. Big Kevin Kyle's away, I've done a BBC room on Friday night.
How is he? Hopeless, isn't he?
Pish. It's usually me that gets it when I do the radio, but my boys were texting and saying, what is that numpty talking about? Scrape his tongue after off the roof of his mouth.
By the way, you know where he is? He's misses a goalkeeper now, so she's taking it quite seriously. Right. Jim Layton's got a goalkeeping camp up in Aberdeen.
He's up in the academy, is
so
he?
He's taking her up. He's Vaseline'd her eyebrows and she's away up to train with Jim Layton for
the week. They weren't serving, are they?
Potentially, it's only a week that he's away, but ultimately, that will be his last podcast. He'll never be back on.
He's been hanging on, hasn't he? Hanging on for dear life.
Hanging on to your coattails.
I'm struggling, boys. I'm struggling. I've been out to see Joker four times this week. Four times.
Very good,
I feel myself in it.
I feel the Joker does. He can't fit in with society, and I really do feel like that. So I don't know. I'll end up going mad very soon.
And who's getting it when you do go mad?
Craig Beatty.
Beats, have you seen this as an opportunity? You displaced Larson. Can you displace Kev Kyle?
Not a problem.
Easy.
I've seen Larson off eye. And Sutton, Hartson, Bellamy. I was there the whole time. They kind of came and went. So I'm sure Kevin Kyle won't be a problem.
Correct. Right. Beats, we want to talk to you about last time we were with you. Was it the Fringe Show?
Yes.
Ready in black and toast as well, didn't you?
Are you surprised? I can't even believe you got him in.
You're not happy with him?
Nah.
He offered nothing.
Man was murder.
Mumbling, quiet. Embarrassing to sit beside
me. To be fair,
me.
Big Kev done him a few times and all, and he's not the brightest, so.
No, Big Kev struggles and all, didn't he, when he's...
he's getting slaughtered.
So he came for him, but no, good on the both.
Like wee Blackie, Fringe was brilliant. First time I've been through at the Edinburgh Fringe.
What did you think of me? Imagine my performance.
I thought your performance was sensational.
It was amazing, wasn't it? I was an entertainer.
I wasn't expecting a bottle of beer over the head. I wasn't expecting the tabletop action.
Box of tricks, they call me.
What about the women that were buzzing off at me?
What was I going to say? I was watching Bohemian Rhapsody last night, Si. Mm-hmm. I think it's time now for my name to be changed. Do you notice that? See all the top,
like they've got a stage name.
Aye. I think it's new time. I became that big now that I must get it, because he just changed his name out of neighbour. Mm-hmm. He must do that pulseline at Disney Ring. You're not going to sell it with that. Do you know what I mean? The slain name. Dutt. A Dutt family.
What would your name be?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking. I'm going to need to sit down and think about it, because I can't go on with this name any longer. The Slains, they've done nothing with their life. They've done nothing.
Done for you.
Nothing for me. So I want to get away from the name as quickly as I can possibly do it.
How have you dealt with open goal fame? Because obviously you were shite at football and not used to it, but...
Well, that's where we met, Beats. We met at air.
We're going to come to that in a bit, so don't get too much.
I was going to ask you a question, I'll wait for me to come.
Right, so we'll get to it. Beats, I want to ask you a bit about the boxing as well. Are you still doing the Bear Arse stuff?
I'm fully clothed in a minute. I've not managed to get the
Beats,
top
tell
up
them
yet.
When you took me to boxing, tell them when you unleashed the animal.
Don't tell them about me. You let them off the leash, let us hear it.
Do you know, he was talking the talk for months and months, so I gave him the opportunity to come up to the gym, have a little workout. Absolutely rubbish.
Rubbish. I'm after 5 minutes. I ran out of the gym being sick everywhere, eh? Mate, was that a coach?
Spewing
his finger. Hit me! The coach kept shouting at me, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna be sick! Jesus, is it?
Old Joe's 50.
You still doing it?
Runs a local
he's
amateur
an
club.
Animal, isn't he?
Aye.
Why don't you start up like a fight club, like, you know, that film? Used to, it's Fight Club.
Your mate
Brad
was it?
Pitt and what's the boy's
sorry,
name?
You're not supposed to talk about Fight Club.
Is that the number one rule? You need to go for a shite before you start.
No, the rule is you don't talk about Fight Club. That's the rule.
Who could be the guy with the big tits?
Kev Kyle.
Yes, I've done him. He's going to be listening to this by the
end. We'll see if you can put a show on then. We'll maybe have a fight.
Oh, who, you and Kev? Imagine that.
Big Kev, isn't he? Is he the big man up for it?
I don't know. I'd love to see Big Kev not fighting, is he?
I'm in 2 minutes and you've just got me calling Big Kev, innit?
Oh,
I've gone for a place them on the show and calling him.
Who would you walk out with?
Would you fight Kev and Slane at the same time?
Do you remember that probably. Time, Beats? I don't know why I say this, but do you remember the time I cracked you in train and flared you?
What happened, tell us?
I cracked you in train, not Beats. Nah, never.
Nah, he was too busy hiding behind the centre mid, trying to get the ball.
Kidding on. Right, on to Scotland, lads. Talk about the first game first, Russia. Shambles, Beats, or?
Shambles. Russia... Russia were half-assed for the first 20 minutes of the game. So in turn Scotland looked pretty comfortable. And then as soon as they turned it up a wee bit, they dominated the rest of the first half, scored off after almost an hour, and then it was just a capitulation.
What's Scotland's game plan? When I look at Scotland, I don't see an identity, what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I get that. And I see a little bit of that myself. I think defensively, I think we kind of know what we're about. I think offensively, it's just a little bit of let's hope one of our kind of better, more attacking players create something or something happens. I don't know in terms of going forward what our actual game plan is, what our patterns of play are, and what we're ultimately trying to achieve. I think defensively, although we've been shipping quite a lot of goals, I think there's a game plan defensively. Having said that, we've been playing against Russia and Belgium, which are none no mugs. So it's been a difficult start for Steve Clarke.
Slaney, what's your thoughts, mate?
I'm really.
What do you know about international football?
He's been a mascot a couple of times, hasn't he?
You know, my contract appeal kind of come from me.
No, he's wanting Kev back as soon as possible.
He never comes for me, Kev. No, but listen, see, with international football, I'm really. I love it, so I'm very passionate about my country. But see, yesterday, we kind of be excited about beating San Marino. I mean, Belgium beat them 9-0. The worry is with Steve Clarke, it seems to me he's just a wee bit lost. Si, he looks lost. And I surely has him getting appointed. I mean, he got a team at Kilmarnock hard to beat, but it's the total opposite of Scotland. Seems like they let one go in, and then the next one goes in, the next one goes in. I'm very surprised. A Steve Clarke team, you'd have thought, might not be playing attacking football, but they would have been very hard to beat and scraped to win. So I'm very surprised now. But I've got one for you here. I do believe Steve Clarke will be. I think he will get Scotland to the Euros.
Because you did champion him for the job.
I did champion, so I'm going to stick by him for the moment, for the next. Until after the Euros. I think he will get there, he'll scrape there. But I wouldn't, for the future of Scotland, do you know what I'd love to see get the job? Sean Maloney.
Yes.
That's a great shout, isn't it?
It's a brilliant shout.
Revolutionised the country.
Probably.
I think he would be unbelievable for the full country. The right
he would go from the top to the bottom.
I think so, mate. Right, and yeah. I knowing Sean and very close to him that I'm a. We played cricket in the garage. The garage nightclub and he's the garage. We play cricket all the time, me, him and the physio. But that's not the point, Si. The point is we show him along, you speak to him.
Where did the cricket bat end up?
Exactly, Si. But when you speak to Sean, he's the first one in. He's an encyclopedia of football.
What?
Is Big Kevin back?
Right, I'm stopping you there. Somebody's told you to say that.
No, generally, I believe Sean. He's working in at Belgium. I actually believe Sean's better than Martinez.
Right.
Than I think he should become. I don't know if he'd want to go into international football as a manager right away, but I believe he's the man that's going to change this full country.
Wow. I am. For what it's worth, I actually agree with you.
Thanks.
Wow.
I know you're full of carry on and
that. No, one I like great point.
I'm with
you're
you.
You're pally,
aye, Sean's an anorak. Really loves his football. Knows his stuff. Working with Martinez.
That's what I should have used.
That's a good work. Good work. I've got that in my inside.
That's why you do. That's why you're a media darling. He's a media whore. Right, can I tell you something about Scotland that does me in? I pick up on the wee things, right? Defensively, you're saying Steve Clarke's good. I thought he would be. Why is Charlie Mulgrew marking their big centre forward at corners? Mikey Devlin, for me, is much more an aggressive defender. Mikey Devlin should be picking up the big guy. He scored 2 goals against us last time. Why is there no somebody standing in front of him at corners in general play stuff? That, for me, is a defensive manager. I did that in League 2 beats. It's a simple things to fit more. The big striker's the best player. You get somebody on his toes to stop the ball coming to his feet. Boy's just going at the big centre forward easy every time. Nah?
Yep.
He's an animal, that big centre forward. You've got to get
put 2 on him at set pieces, mate.
Juba, Artem Juba.
That's his Zenit Lighthouse.
A goal machine.
Okay, so that was bad. And then I also want to ask you about the change in lineups. I mean, we've got these qualifiers coming up. You know yourself when you're playing. There's nothing better when you're playing a team and you've got a set of 11. You know who the 11's going to be. There could be one and two changes here and there, but it's two totally different teams that play the two games.
Yeah, I get both sides of this coin because he's now had a chance to look at other players that he wouldn't have potentially had a chance to look at. Maybe Snoddy coming back into the team, he's now had a look at Shankland. He's the other boys coming into the lineup, Devlin, Finlay. So he's had a chance to look at some of these boys in a competitive match. I know McLaughlin played the other night, just in case that he has to play, you know, further down the line and some competitive experience. I think he's played a friendly or a half in a friendly prior to that. So I get that folk are looking for consistency, but I think if you keep playing the same boys all the time, the other squad lads, you maybe lose a wee bit, you know, if there's opportunities for them to play and he's not rotating the squad.
But you know that to keep your boys happy, mate, you're there to win games.
I know. But ultimately if you're winning games in the end, it's all about the playoffs now, because we've no chance in it.
Yeah.
When you're at anyway, no chance in the groups, so it's all about the playoffs, and if he can rotate it and get a settled squad for the next two or three games leading up to the playoffs. I think the last two games particularly will be he's full 11, and then come back in March for the playoffs, and that will be the team and the formation that he plays.
Right. Dan Marino, we played last night, beat him 6-0. Getting beat 6-0 for Scotland, supposedly Dan Marino says to him, miss the Glasgow airport cut off and drive straight to the Erskine Bridge.
Oh, they were a shambles, weren't they?
Oh, mate, talk to me about Dan Marino.
I think that's genuinely, it's another day, another topic for another day, but I certainly believe now that see teams like that, they've got to get put at football. That's disgusting, honestly.
I was watching that game. I was watching that game thinking, would I turn up there? If I was of San Marino nationality, like,
did they have any scudded
of they can't even score a goal. There's like no hope. I don't. This sounds bad from an ex-professional player, but why would you turn up to have not even any chance of hitting the target? There's two shots in target with free kicks for 45 yards.
See, Dan Marino, what do you think the equivalent of them are? And
that's what I was thinking last night.
Do you think it's like junior or even?
No, I think it would be like League Two, wouldn't it?
I honestly don't know.
They're a total shambles.
I'd love to play
George Slane had like a San Marino.
I would love that, because I love playing with shite players, because it makes you feel a bit better, doesn't it? I always believe it, but I always
imagine you the skipper of San Marino.
Wow, the abuse I'd be gay boys.
That's how I used to take you out public, because I always look better.
Not stopping you, can't you? Usually I'm the man in this.
You want me to we'll get rid of him? This is last,
last show without a doubt. I can't handle this.
I need to tone it down if you come back on. I'm the main man being like this.
He's
in that corner. Shankland, you mentioned beats. Is he good enough to start? But last night, his movement. I know it's Sam Marino, but his movement's good.
Yeah, his movement is very, very good. The one that the goalkeeper saved, which is a fabulous save. You know, if he kind of faints to go right and then he gets across the defender. Yeah. That's what I was watching. That I was looking for. Pulls into good angles, good positions, and that's the bits that's getting his goals. You know, obviously he's a good finisher, but it's the wee movements that's getting the space in the box, which is getting his goals. I don't see why not, because I'm not really having McBurney at that level. I'm certainly not having Ollie Burke at that level.
Oh, come on. I can't even not mention it. Why is Oliver Burke playing in that game? What has he done to justify playing in that game?
It's going to be a bit harsh, but it's a myth. The guy's got attributes that people would kill for, right? But he doesn't know how to use them. You know, I watched the Russia game, and our midfielder are getting the ball shy, and all they're seeing is his name and number. Now the defender could have 15 yards on him, and he'll just get the ball and just run. He just turns and runs. So your midfielders, your John McGinn, your Christie's, whoever, your Armstrong, they can only see his name and number. And I'm thinking, has nobody actually took you aside and thought, stand and receive the ball, hold it, link it up, and actually get the team up the park?
Yeah, and then you can spin him behind the...
And then even when he gets it, he turns and he runs and he runs and he just keeps running until he runs into somebody. Like he's got blistering pace, he's tall, he's strong, he's got attributes that you would absolutely kill for. But then I watch him playing and I'm thinking,
where is he now?
Does that not kill you, Slaney?
He's on loan.
I can't believe
he's made millions and you're technically tremendous.
I've
got a pot to piss in. You just said last week.
Stealing money at my man dad's wallets every day. No joke.
He's just turned 22, Slaney. He's on his third loan deal. He's been on loan to the English Championship twice.
Give him a bit of advice. As a guy who was a rising star.
Alaves in Spain. That's where he's on loan.
Is that the La Liga?
Aye.
He's obviously got this big move when he's... when he's young and he's done a wee bit, and that can happen, but it's certainly.
But they paid the money for his attributes in.
But the only thing I would say is, and what you're saying about is that anybody spoke to him as a coach. The best I had seen him was actually all right with Rodgers. Remember?
When he first started, he was all right.
But then he just went.
He couldn't get a game in the end.
Terrible.
He's now trying to get a game at Alaves.
And then, but for him to actually go and start away to Russia, he must be experimenting, Steve Clark. But it just doesn't make sense to me that. Sorry.
No, but that's his attributes that's getting him the start, because the manager must be thinking, right, he's the outball because he's pace. Like, if we're struggling, we'll drop it in behind.
See, if you're playing one up front, why is Stephen Fletcher not playing?
He doesn't want to be there.
Why, though?
He's
just get him on side, innit? Give him a phone saying, come on, you're going to play.
If I'm being honest,
every away game and play one up front with three in midfield, Fletch plays for me.
I could only assume that the last couple of managers have tried that. I assume his teammates have tried that, and no, Fletcher's getting on, and they're saying that he's kind of
on his fourth transplant,
managing that he's managing injuries during the international break, and that's whether it's an agreement that they've got or he just doesn't want to come, then that's where we're at. But he's probably the best centre forward that we've got. He's fire at Sheff Wedding in a minute.
Top player. Right, is Shanklin good enough for Celtic or Rangers, Paul Slane?
I certainly think so. And a wee insight.
Oh, good.
Through the grapevine and through the years, some of the Scotland boys, I've heard that he's exceptional.
Wow.
Big Jig said, I met Big Jig at the garage, I told you, he said he could go
at a higher level, he said, in training that, he looked exceptional, the boy. So really? That's aye. So it's very, very promising to hear
so
that.
Obviously came for James Forrest.
No, for me, Forrest, I'm not speaking. We're not getting on. Ooh. No, we're not getting
what's
on at
happened?
All. I've been using his name, ain't I? I've become famous.
And
now that I've got the big names on side now, KT, Andy Robertson.
Oh, Robbo.
Aye, do you know him?
Lovely boy. So you've packed Forrest?
No, but I think he's maybe just taking a wee bit backside, you know what I mean? I don't think he's too happy with it. But the point is, Shanklin, is he good flow for him? Aye, I think he is. I've not seen enough of him though, but gone with the boys what they're talking about, they certainly believe that he could go to that next level. But again, as we've said, it's a different ball game to go there as well. So.
The man who knows about that ball game. Celtic need a striker for me.
Celtic need
Celtic. Griffiths isn't going to play, which I don't think he is.
No. Celtic definitely Shanklin? Need a striker, yeah. I think he's good enough for Celtic. I think he suits Celtic style more than Rangers. I think the way Morelos plays, he kind of creates a lot of chances and makes a lot of his own goals himself. Whereas Celtic are a wee bit more kind of creative in the final third with a wide players and Christie. I think he'd be more suited to Celtic, and I think he could quite easily come into Celtic and do a job there.
I think it could happen in January.
Well, Celtic need a striker.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think they need a striker to back up Edward. I don't think he should go yet.
Bio's playing silly buggers, isn't he?
I'm sick of that Big Bio. Really, really sick of that guy.
I think the problem's going to be is if it's a January move that Dundee United are going to want silly money for him. Uh-huh. And you're talking about, are Rangers or Celtic going to pay ridiculous money to a championship
what do you
team
think
in Scotland?
I know it was probably money in the end, but how could a team doing Championship or League One no match to bring Shanklin in the summer there? Why did he choose to go to Dundee United? Because
it was in a free contract.
But I feel that if he'd went,
there's talk of Sunderland and Swansea.
Aye, and there's talk. I think that they knew that he's. That's probably
maybe he doesn't think he's ready for it.
Maybe that's what it is. But I think for the Scotland thing, if he'd went down to a Championship, then he would
be better for Scotland.
Be better for Scotland. Mm. Do you know what I mean? He's playing.
Great point, Paul.
You're playing the Championship.
If he's playing.
Good point again. Great point.
It's a point to beat my point.
Are you used to having a point on?
But we were great. Me and Beats done this a lot. On the pitch, we played together, and in the changing room, we played together. So it was superb. And in the shower room, we played together as well.
I need to ask you as well. Slaney, you know who will be happy after the game last night? Keegan.
Oh, Kevin Keegan will be over the moon. Absolutely buzzing with that performance. We need to go to the Euros. We need to get this country back, Beats, and nothing would please me more to see you and Kevin Kyle at touchline in a Euros match ready to present. Wouldn't that be amazing, Si?
Oh, tremendous.
Would be super, wearing kilts of both of them.
will Scotland qualify for these games, the playoffs?
I'm going to be optimistic. I'm not normally, but I'm going to be optimistic. I think we'll get a couple of games, and I think we've been unfortunate with the quality they've played against recently. So I'm going to hold out and say yes at the minute, but we'll have a better idea against Cyprus and Kazakhstan in the last two qualifiers of our level.
Johnny Russell, I wanted to ask you about, he travels all over the world, mate, and gets 20 minutes against
that.
Where's his head just now, man?
I can't understand why he's gone. Eh? I can't understand. Like, I know it's brilliant that he's turned up for his country now, but you've got to get to a point, like, you speak to Steve Clark and say, if there's no chance at all, like, what's the point?
But is that what's wrong with the modern day player now, that they just chuck it when it's tough? Can you not think, I'm going to come here and prove myself and maybe get a game?
Well, we've said that, but he's not chucked it, because he does continue to come, and he got some game time yesterday. So fair play to him for that. I sent a message the other day asking if he travels business class. See, purely for a financial point of view, flying him to America for every trip when he doesn't kick a ball. See, if I'm upstairs in the SFA, I'm saying, what the fuck are you doing? You're spending five grand every time on Johnny Russell coming over for America.
It probably will be business class, won't it?
I'm presuming that they would look after him and fly him, but they might not. But if it is, I mean,
it's a great point, mate.
You're spending £5,000 every time to bring him over for nothing, because he doesn't go in the park.
I know, I'll do what he does, eh?
I mean, bringing over this time, he's back now. The American season's finished, so he's back now. Doesn't he start to pre-season in January or whatever, so obviously he'll come back over here and be back with his family, etc. But the other trips, like, fair play to him for turning up.
See, if you'd have got that deal with Stanley, where was it, Turkey?
We trained in Turkey, but it was Kazakhstan.
Right, so see if you were in Kazakhstan.
See
that move worked out in Kazakhstan?
I would never have been seen in Scotland again.
But if Scotland called you up, would you just refused?
I would have refused to go, unless they were paying me to play. Do international players get paid beats?
No.
England boys, they don't.
I don't know if they get they don't get a wage, but at times there's
is it in a contract maybe?
Nah, there's like appearances for sponsors and stuff like that. I remember there was chat years ago, a couple of internationals that I played with, and they were going away, and like, you know, you come up here. I think at one point we were sponsored by ScotMid, so it's like, oh, MD needs to, somebody needs to go and do an appearance at ScotMid. Right? We draw names out of hat unless MD wants to go and do it, and you'd go and do it, and you maybe get a wee. You get a wee touch for going to do it, you get a free loaf and a pint of milk. But going back with and meeting up with England lads, they were getting 26 grand for doing appearances.
No like, way.
So see when you see the lads on the telly, whether it be Sky Sports News or a Vauxhall event or what, absolutely weighed in every time they turn up at an appearance.
Wow, how much you want for this speech, by?
I've got to Black Rooster after them.
Oh, yeah.
But as long as they stop the rating.
We'll go to Black Rooster after this.
Go get the beans.
Oh yeah.
As long as you stop the rating of the spice out, because their medium is absolutely
blows
red hot.
Blows the balls off you, didn't it?
I haven't been to Black Rooster.
Oh, we need to go, mate. You can take us after us.
I know, I'm going to go on a diet.
Are you right?
I did it last night.
You're looking slim.
One apple a day, I'm going to go.
What, just eat an apple a day?
Just one apple a day. You suppose you have a can of tuna with that as well, but I'm just going to just go one apple a day. I think that's, I need to, so I see my body now, it's absolutely vile. Eh? Like, see, when I'm in the shiver.
What comes at it?
Oh, no, not even that, just the shape it and you know, I can't wear t-shirts, Si. Can't wear t-shirts because you see the tits through it. So it's killing my bones, my blood.
Time to get back to the boxing gym.
Get back to the boxing.
I actually want to start fighting. I actually love fighting, eh? But the amount of
scrap. you don't look like you do.
I actually love fighting.
You ever won any?
tremendous. Right, but it's just on Scotland. See, when you got called up,
yes.
Was there a proper buzz or was there ever slight negative thoughts?
No, not at all. No, when I got called up, I was buzzing. You know, I was only young. I was kind of coming on the scene at Celtic, and I was doing all right. And then you get called up for the national team, and you know, it was a buzz. To be fair, I was excited initially. Don't think that lasted particularly.
Why?
Long.
Why does it not last? Because you're not playing.
Touched on this the other day when I'd done some of my media stuff.
That, never mind the other media stuff we're talking about.
That's Laney can I get. Do you know what? I felt like in the end that I probably wasn't going to get a game. I felt like no matter what happened or who, like the formation would have changed and someone else would have played ahead of me, which was okay. So it was probably in turn, my thought was that I was only in there because I was, you know, I was playing at Celtic and there would have been more hassle if I wasn't named in the squad. There would have been questions asked rather than that I was going to have much of an impact. So if like Boyd or Miller was injured, then it would have been maybe James McFadden up there or Lee McCulloch would have, 4-5-1 and Big Jig would have been up front. So I never felt like I was going to actually get a game, although I was always named in all the squads. So it's a bit frustrating in the end because it's long spells away from.
Is there a chance in training to like get yourself on a team, or does that really happen at Scotland?
I think the team picks itself. I think the majority of international teams pick themselves if all the players are fit. Plus, they don't train that much. It's not like club football where you're training every day and you can assess someone's frame of mind and the form that they're on. You're just turning up, and if your best players are fit, then they play generally.
I could listen to him all day.
Great insight.
Could listen to you.
Great insight
at
the Scotland team, man. Right, Slaney, what about that pitch last night?
No, listen, it was.
See, if you were Sam Marino, mate, I'd have been pro to get this. Aye. Needs to be called up. They weren't even giving a fuck, man.
So they can come back and lose another six.
See, this week, but it's been raining like that non-stop last week, and honestly, I can't date him with coaching, say. See that? Just getting pulled down. You can't date him with kids. Honestly, like, you have to cancel. I'm talking about younger kids. Is that a problem with your country, or is that an excuse, Si?
Excuse.
It's fucking excuse, and you're spot on.
Too many excuses.
Weather, who's rhyme yet?
Players, everyone's got too many excuses. I'm not coming to Scotland because I'm not playing. Well, get yourself on the team.
Exactly.
I must say, I disagree with all that about going and not playing. Like, if I was going to Scotland, obviously I was hopeless, but if I'm going to Scotland and I'm not playing, I'm doing something about it. I say that the kids when they're not playing, do something about it.
Beats, I wanted to ask you, see
they that. Better and you'll get in the team.
Aye, you're spot on. See that beats with, I remember listening to Jimmy Carragher. And remember the guy in the TalkSport went for him and leaving England because, and he was saying he stopped going to England because there was 4 centre backs ahead of him. Do you think in that point you're like, is there any point in me going?
He was 30 odd at the time. I can agree with that. You're missing your kids and your family, but like young guys at that age, get yourself on the team, man.
But do you think if you've been flying, right? You've been flying, scoring goals, you go away a few times when you're flying, you don't get any chance. Do you think then you get to the stage and it's pointless me turning up? Do you know what I mean?
Ask that man, he'll know.
Do you know what I mean? I don't mean pointless, because right, your country, but you start to feel, I'm away for 10 days here, I've got a family and kids, and there's really no chance I'm going to play. If you see if somebody gets injured, and I'm still not going to play.
it's horrible. It's a horrible feeling. Like, we used to go to Cameron House, and a lot of folk will be like, oh, you're down to Loch Lomond, 5-star hotel, you get wined and dined, pampered, all that sort of stuff. It was actually mentally tough to go down there and do that, be away from the family. And I mean, big David Marshall's done it for, what, 14 years nearly, not get anywhere near the amount of caps that he could have and probably should have got, but he was in there with Craig Gordon and Alan McGregor, so he's down there as a third goalkeeper for the best part of a decade before he's recently got in the team. I don't know how he's managed it, honestly don't. Dave's married with three kids. I don't know how he's managed to kind of sacrifice all that time and all the double headers and the time away for his family when, you know, like the rest of the footballing world that are not international players have maybe get a few days off to actually spend some time with the wife and kids. That English Championship, your 48 league games, all your cup games, Simon, you know, you spend your full time on the road.
Big Mark stays up here as well, didn't he? So he travels
down there. He's travelling down to Wigan, aye.
So
you three away games in a week and you don't see your family. Then up comes international break, you're away for another fortnight. It's hard going.
There's times when that's good to when you don't need to see the missus, isn't it? Like Jamie Vardy must want in it on a national break every week. Right, just the last bit on that Scotland game. Worst pitch you've played on your career, I'll go first. Accrington Stanley, holy fuck. AstroTurf in the dressing room, dog shit all the place. I think there was a dog shit on the pitch. Accrington Stanley.
I've played at Accrington.
My god. That makes you want to chuck it. Decanio couldn't believe, what is this? Fucking Accrington Stanley.
Well, did they mean to do that side to put you off? Like the away team?
Nah, it's better now.
Big hell on
the day, mate, it was all.
Big hell on the pitch.
Big hell.
That's when the.
Mullet was Firth Park's got a big hell as well.
So does Tannet, mate. Quite a few Tannadice has got. Dens have got the same hit as well.
That was where the belter that is Edgar Davids took off his centre half because he was shite and put himself centre half.
Accrington.
I love that.
Anyone can have a beast at Accrington.
Accrington Stanley. Took his centre half off, he shouted over to the sub and he's assistant manager. And he told a midfielder to warm up and we're like, he's taking a centre half off here, what's happening? Puts the midfielder on, puts himself to centre half, comes in after it again and goes, hey, it's not that fucking difficult.
What about you, Slaney? What's that?
Worst pitch I played on. See, to be fair, I was actually speaking to somebody the other day. I barely played football, eh? It's actually unbelievable that I'm running the Scottish game and I barely played in it. I retired at 21, eh? At 21, I stopped playing.
You were a top player as well.
We're going to come to that. This is the next subject. Right, we'll
you're
just
annoying
wait.
Me.
That's excuses.
I'm
an actor, excuses. You're going to excuses.
Nah, mate, I swear to God, I would see the pain I go through at D&D to even out my bed. It's excruciating. So it's very tough for me to try and play at the highest level.
What's your worst pitch?
Pete's just telling me I'm oil cafe.
What's your worst pitch? Come on.
Do you remember we went at
worst
that
pitch?
Night? Oh, sorry, si. Third Park.
Third Park, right.
Remember that night?
Go on.
You went out the night out. I don't know if I can say this. Were the birds?
You fucking said it now.
Right, and, go for it.
It was a bird. And I don't know what happened. I think she was into Beats. She went to the toilet, so I had to crack on with her. He came out, and I swear to God, I don't know if you grabbed me the throat or against a wall. Was it that?
No, I just asked you what you were doing, and I had a wee grill at you, and I was like...
Did he shat yourself?
Shat yourself, aye.
Probably did.
Aye, but what happened after that? Took her down the cellar, remember?
Brilliant. Tremendous stuff.
I've teed her up for you. I don't know the part.
How's it be knocked down, wasn't it?
Aye, I don't know the
part. You've stuck it away, young man.
Unbelievable.
Well done.
I'll hang her up in the back post for you, son.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Right, just finally on the Scotland, if you had to pick your own starting 11 for Scotland, what would it be? Who's want to go first? Both of you have been magnificent so far by you.
Who's want to go first?
Go on, Slaney.
My team would be David Marshall and goals.
Yes.
Kieran Tierney right back.
Yeah.
I would go with Charlie McGroot and Scott McKenna, centre backs.
Who's playing on the right hand side of that?
Charlie plays the right hand side.
Right.
I would go Andy
would
Robertson
you
left
know
back.
Your ball player playing on his
absolutely.
Side?
I'd play Scott McKenna the other side. I would have
ball player, he's not ball buster.
John McGinn, Callum McGregor in centre midfield with Ryan Christie in front of them. With Forrest and Fraser on the wings.
Fraser.
He's got, by the way, he's lost it a wee bit, supposedly. Supposedly
he's gone away for Bournemouth, isn't he? He's got a free transfer.
I think that's what it is, and he's not playing in it. And then up front, I would go away.
You Shankland. Pick up some, though, wouldn't he?
Shankland.
Aye.
Right, Beats, what are you going?
Right.
I think I've seen Liam Palmer there on your screen.
You have, aye.
Right, okay.
I'm going to go Palmer right back.
Wow.
I'm going Tierney, left centre back.
Wow.
I'm going.
He's an animal.
He's been an event. He's been an event.
I'm going Robertson left back. I'm going to be even more innovative here.
That's the word.
Ryan Porteous for Hibs.
Wow.
Right. And you'll probably come back to me in a couple of years and say, by the way, you're spot on. He's not a sniff yet. We've had three boys in here that have been uncapped centre-halves. I played with Porter a couple of years ago at Edinburgh. I came on loan to get some games. He's gone back to Hibs and I've kept an eye on him. He's going to be top draw.
Aggressive as coming, mate. I love him.
Yeah. Midfield, McGregor, McTominay, McGinn.
No, Speeds. What did you say there?
McGregor, McTominay, and McGinn.
Scott McTominay?
Aye. I like McTominay.
Oh, dearie, mate.
This is my fucking team.
Pet hate, mate. I'm sorry. Right.
Your wee mate, Jamesy, on the right, although he's not talking to you at the minute.
No, me and Jamesy are fine. I just
Fraser. And it's a coin flip with McBurnie and Shankland at the minute. I'm going to go Shankland. I'm going to be Shankland the benefit of the doubt. Coyste told me years ago, right, sometimes you play your best games in the stand. So he looked at me and I was a bit miffed. I didn't know what he was talking about. And
He said,
trust me, he says, don't always get on at manager when you don't play. He said, sometimes players need enough rope to, right? So he says, you'll be sitting on the bench. He says, the player will be playing for 4 or 5 games and he's pish. He says, and all of a sudden, you become a better player sitting on the bench or sitting in the stand. You become more valuable by no playing. So McBurnie's had a wee bit of a crack and not really done it. So I'm going to go for the inexperienced Shankland.
Can I ask what you like about McTominay, please? As a centre midfielder.
I think he gets about the part well. I think he plays a different role in Scotland than what he does at United. He kind of breaks things up at United and then starts attack. Like, he's got the kind of Pogba sitting a bit deeper and stuff like that. He gets good legs. I think he's got good vision, good passing. But he comes to Scotland and he plays a different role than what he's allowed to play at Man United. But I think he's a top player.
Right. Okay.
Are you going to argue with that?
I don't agree with that, mate.
No.
I don't think he does enough. He doesn't set up goals.
With Scotland at United, he scored a worldie last week.
That was a deflection to win it.
Right,
mine's is Marsh in goals, Tierney right back, Liam Cooper, McKenna is my centre halves, Andy Robertson left back, McGregor and McGinn midfield, to Christie in the 10, Forrest, Fraser and McBurnie up top.
Go McBurnie, aye.
Not too dissimilar. He's a £20 million striker, mate. Mm-hmm. He's got to have someone. Chris Wilder's a top manager, mate. He plays every week for him.
Mm-hmm. That's an inflated market though. He's not a £20 million striker. He is because somebody's paid for him. But he's no.
But I just think, if you see McBurnie, if you play his strengths, I think he scored 20 goals in the Championship last year.
My anxiety's going through the roof. People get me
oil. He needs to play. Do you know what I hate about McBurnie for Scotland? They play him in a 4-3-3 instead of somebody in the hole. Because see, when he's got somebody in the hole at Swansea that plays through Boston, he can finish, mate. He can finish.
But the players we've just mentioned that play in the middle of the park, McGinn and Christie, that's what they do. They're playing as number 10. You see McGinn last night. So that's. But they're playing different roles, or they're playing differently.
Away from home, I'd play Ryan Jack. I'd take McGregor out of the team and put Jack in. And I'd put Jack sitting, and I'd put Christie and McGinn. See, away from home, I don't like Callum McGregor. It doesn't suit Callum McGregor, eh? He's no good at stopping attacks and getting the ball back. I don't think that's Callum McGregor's
game. What I will say is, I think McGregor's struggling for a wee bit of form at the minute. I think he's a top player, but...
He's played a hell of a lot of games.
I said the same about Tierney as well. I really thought Tierney was injured a lot last season. He played 40 games. Mm-hmm. 40 games he played last year.
You see that about Alexis Sanchez now, he's gone because he's played that many games in his career, he's only 31. You can see that happening, and I think McGregor played 60 games last year, wasn't it?
Aye.
They barely get a break in the summer. I know. Like, they literally, he was away, I'm sure, 10 days with Scotland in the summer, then he got 2 weeks and then they're playing Champions League qualifiers. You need that mentally break as well.
I remember it happened to Aidan years ago, Aidan McGeady, and he asked Strachan for an extra week off. Strachan told him to go and ram it. I think he had like 7 days summer holiday.
Wow.
Aye, wee man was fuming. Wasn't the best place.
Too much. Far too much. Far too much. I took a five year break. A 5 year break. I don't know when I'm going to get back in it.
Right, we're going to talk about Slaney and Beats It Air.
What a time.
Mate, your story about getting sent off went viral. I think it was 140,000 views. It
got. What about the running technique when I get sent off?
By the way, I was listening to that and I was right in front of you. And I knew 5 seconds before he got sent off that he was getting sent off. His touch was that bad. And I just seen him try to make up for the bad touch.
You're in the video,
stand and shake my head.
See, the tackle was a bad tackle, but also you could have smashed him there.
I don't think it was a red, eh? It was a wet surface. Do you think it was a red beat?
Horrific tackle.
Aye, listen, it was a touch, I think, when the touch. I think the referee.
Well, why was
the
touch? I thought you had a good touch.
It was good, but as I said, it was all planned.
Let's go and see when you took the bad touch.
Andy Millen.
Or just his
don't want his job, don't want to get the job. But see, honestly, I was talking to Hutch yesterday about it. if I could go back to any team, it would be that dressing room. Now, I know we didn't get the results and all that, but I've never been
Who cares about the results?
Exactly. I've never been in a madder dressing room in my life. It was absolutely crazy. And the best of all, I ran the dressing room, Si. I was the maddest badass in that dressing room. Everybody was scared to open their mouth. Everybody was scared to even get their head up when I walked in the room, Si. It was what a feeling of empowerment I had over people.
Wow.
Until you tried to chat to a bird I was chatting to.
But, Beats, I was going to ask you. It's for us all, when you've played at the top, like we all have, see, when you come down to the level of a part-time football in Scotland, what do you think is the hardest thing is? Now, I know my answer. My answer is coming down and seeing how bad the players are and then becoming... And then I was worse than them. That was the hardest part for me, Beats. And I actually found, and I always say this to people about part-time, I actually found it harder than playing at a Celtic.
Oh, playing the lower leagues is harder,
because 100%. Because the ball never gets to your feet. It's always 100 mile an hour. It's getting pumped up. It's maybe bobbing off someday. You barely get
You two are the midfielders that are pumping up in there.
Aye, I was the worst for it. But I just found it very... But it was the most amazing time. My head was totally gone at that point.
That's a good question. What did you find the most frustrating?
I'm waiting to answer Slaney's first question. Answered the question 5 minutes ago about the hardest things about part-time.
Two
things for me. The first one was probably... transitioning into a job, like working during the day. So you're used to getting up full time. You get up, you get your shower, and you get into training. You go to the gym, have your breakfast, and you're training first thing in the morning, and you're fresh and you're sharp. And then all of a sudden you're doing an eight-hour shift, and then you're having to drive an hour or an hour and a half to training, and then you need to go to train. You don't finish till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. So probably the kind of physical side of things for your training point of view, having to train at night as opposed to up and training in the morning. And the second thing is you're 100% right. Playing with players that are absolute shite. the amount of times, I don't know whether folk are at the wind-up here and try to bum me up a wee bit, but they're like, your runs are too good, the players can't see you. Andy Millen, I'm saying, well, go and fucking sign somebody that can see my run. Surely you sign somebody that can pick a pass, he's probably talking about you, that we can pick a pass and then we'll actually score more goals. No, you need to come down to their level. And I'm like, a year or so and I was way below their level.
And did you feel yourself getting worse?
Quite possibly. I think there comes a fight and a scrap and it's just horrible.
That's tough.
It's just horrible. I enjoyed when I moved back to centre half though. I enjoyed that.
You just going head in and kick it?
Literally. Being at the other side of the park and folk just kicking the ball, I'm just running and shouting my name as loud as I can and heeding everything that moves. I enjoyed that.
Well, why is it like, to be fair, there is decent players. There is a few decent players at that level. Like they are good. They could go high on that, but it's just the overall. I remember I used to, in a Friday night before the match, and whatever team were playing away from home, I used to Google the stadium, and if the stadium looked horrible, I would message the manager right away saying I'm no well. I'm not joking. I was actually scared to go to these stadiums. I remember when you went out to the warm up and it was fucking. I'm only cheeky, right? I'm for the town, but see when you go to these places in Scotland, it doesn't seem if it's normal people.
No, I know what you mean.
It's like gremlins walking about with a pie.
I remember walking about with a pie.
I just couldn't ever take it in. It was difficult, but I must say I've met some of my best mates at teams like that. And I believe that people in the boys in the change rooms are the real people. They're normal guys, eh? They're normal boys. Like you sometimes go to a team and they're full of their cell or they live in this fantasy world. These boys are normal guys and really good guys. As we said, shite at football, but we don't need to bother about that. And I struggled mentally to be sitting with the guys, just to sit and listen to their shite.
I'll tell you, I think the difference is, right, I think that lower league players are more scared to make mistakes than higher players. And I don't know why, because there's only 500 people.
I don't know why.
Just try and play,
they're used to it.
See, if you give it away to who cares? No, but do you know what I mean? Like, I think they've got like the mentality of they didn't play to express themselves. They play not to make mistakes. I always say, just play. If you get away, just get it back.
I was I love carrying them, but I was the worst out them all. I became so shite. I don't know. I just felt listen.
You good in training too? Somebody says you were the best trainer since the
summer. No, I was the opposite. I didn't really enjoy training, but I love games. When I went there, I just hated everything, and Clyde hated football all the time. But the dressing room was amazing, Beats.
Was he good?
I tell you one thing. I did notice that the lower down the level I went, the more the players rated themselves.
Aye.
Like I've obviously come from a high level with top players who are all kind of know they're top players, but they don't go overboard with it. And then you kind of drop down the level to part time, Championship, League One, League Two, and these guys are swaggering about like they're absolute ballers, and I'm like, you fucking take your social media
profile. Would you pull them up for it?
Oh, I had a rant in the changing room one day and told them all to change their fucking Twitter and Instagram profile pictures because it's all like a cup game at Celtic Park or Ibrox and they all think they're footballers. Like, they've not got a fucking clue what it is to be a footballer. Not a clue.
Good,
running
love that.
League 2, think they're ballers.
Was Slaney good, Beats?
Slaney was very, very good.
Milner?
Not at all.
Honestly, very good.
Exceptional.
Dynamic midfielder, like...
Horny?
Shut up, all right. I'm going to give you a wee bit here, Slaney, right? I didn't know much about him apart from he was a maniac before I signed, and then he used to get in the ball in a half turn and just drive it. People commit, you know, defenders and stuff like that, get off the back. And he was very, very talented, very dynamic. Like, see the way Gascoigne used to play? See the way Gazza used to play where he would get the ball and just run at you and commit you? That's what he used to do. Whereas everybody's now.
Are you alright to drive after his beats?
Listen, everybody's now. Everybody knows.
Somebody actually said that to me, Slaney, like Gazza, but I took it the other way and
went like went on the drink and sleeping tablets.
Oh, but no, mate. Honestly, that.
What a comparison to Slaney.
Gazza to Milner. Tell him he needs to get ripped in here and explain why he called me Milner. No, but that, I get some buzz in the dressing room. Clyde. What's Peter Head dressing room like? Amazing.
Good. Well, we've got a good dressing room. Dale Lyle's funny, mate. Dale's a great lad, so your dressing room's good. Good laugh. What was I going to say? Best night out you've had, Newcastle, when you got the old man's haircut.
Hey, aye, that was definitely up there. I seen a picture flying about Twitter of it the other day.
It's tremendous, isn't it? With the shirt and tat.
Superb.
Mate, do you remember
that? Mate, you put a picture up the other day, though, when you actually had it and you had your trackie on. Did you play a game like that?
Yeah, remember I told you that somebody stole my night out clothes? I think I went back to Birds, or Two Birds, or Three Birds, which is, I can't remember. And they took an item of clothing each, and I had to get him in the air trackie with a haircut. Do you remember, Beats, and I'm not wanting to say this in case people think I'm lying, the journey home? Do you know what happened? Can you remember what happened with me? I made the hard shoulder. Do you remember where I went? I started walking onto a field, no word to lie, this isn't me trying to be funny. We were coming back, right, and I was scratching hair at my head, I couldn't cope anymore. I'd lost the plot, right, because I'd got the haircut. I don't know if the hairdresser had bleached it and something that made it so itchy. I was scratching the hair at his side, blood started coming out.
Your head was bleeding.
So my head was all gushed, blood coming home, right. So I was sitting there and there was a seat beside me. And I said, nobody better sit there. A young boy came and didn't hear me say it. Sat, see the rollicking I gave him, so I get the fuck away from me. He scampered up at the back, right? So I stopped the bus, asked the boys, you need to stop. So I started walking onto a field, at the hard shoulder and a motorway. I think it was only 50 minutes into the journey or something for Newcastle. So I started walking onto this field. Like, genuinely wasn't trying to be funny. I had enough. I just wanted to walk and walk and walk, and I don't know where I wanted to end up. I wanted to be myself in that field, and then the boys had to all walk and come and get me. The boys actually, I think it was Scotty, Wee Forrest came and caught the arm around me and walked me back and were speaking to me coming back.
So that adventure,
I actually walked onto a field. Now that's, I don't know if that's ever been heard, but my head, it was that mad that night out, Beats, wasn't it?
That was good, aye.
Remember I jumped through the Christmas tree and nearly got your papped out? I speared the Christmas tree in the hotel and the woman was like, if you don't pick that up, you're getting papped out of here. So I made all the boys pick it up for me.
Did you ever have a quiet word in his earbeats now?
I tried my best, but I don't know if I got through to him.
You did.
Obviously never, because he's fucking sitting here. Would he just not listen now?
I used to try and give him the wing, but he wouldn't take it.
No, listen.
Nobody can get that man under you.
No.
He's a loose cannon, isn't he?
I'm very loose. I'm really, really loose, and he's very loose at the moment. What I must say is, for a wee while through the summer, my head went very, I would call it, confused side.
Bloody.
Clogged up, very clogged up, mushy. I'm squashed inside, and but what I must just say now is I believe it's now starting to clear, and that's dangerous for every dinosaur in this country, the dinosaurs in the media, because as you know, I will come for them, Si, if they keep on talking nonsense.
Is there anyone in particular? Nevin.
No. And Andrew, the Saint Walker.
Walker. Was it Kev calls him Andy the shit talker Walker?
Jesus.
By the way, he talks some nonsense, doesn't he, Beats? I don't know if you like him or not.
He does, aye. I remember sitting watching a game one time and somebody's hit a shot and he's absolutely shanked it, and Andy Walker referred to it as cut spin. He's put some cut spin on that shot. And I phoned my mate, and he's already laughing because he knows what I'm going to say. And I'm, cut spin, what the hell? I've played football for 20 years and never heard a cut spin.
Right, the big news of the week. Vardy and Rooney, man.
Oh, dear.
By the way, see before with Jamie Vardy's missus, do you know this? She sold this story on Peter Andre, saying that he had a chipolata and he was the worst ride ever.
No.
So
who done this?
We've actually got a guy here on here that's got a chipolata as the worst ride ever. So Paul's saying, what do you make of that?
What did she say about it?
Peter Andre, mate. This was before she met Jamie Vardy. She sold a story on Peter Andre.
Wow. Scumbag, what a snake. We shouldn't be ever coming and telling them they've got a chipolata, because if they have a chipolata, it's one of the worst feelings in history. You're embarrassed your whole life.
What age did it stop growing?
12-year-old it was stopped. So it's very difficult. And for somebody to come out in the press and say that, the only thing I would say, Richie, but the only thing I would say on that, why is Colin putting on Instagram, regardless if it's a private one? If I had a private one, I've got 300 people private. Mine's is new, massive.
Oh, yours is taking off.
If I had a private one, why would I put it on it? Like, surely I've just
keep it to yourself.
Aye, she shouldn't put it on social media at all. Uh-huh. So it can't be that so important. That
no, but she was only doing it so that she could catch her out.
She was doing it to get the rat out.
Like, but did she not say it first?
I think she was putting stuff like the kids on at Disneyland, and then Rebecca Vardy was going back and saying, "Colin, okay, so Disneyland set with the kids."
Uh-huh. So she started fabricating stuff about like a flood in the basement and stuff like that. But she had blocked everybody for seeing her story except for Rebecca Vardy.
Brilliant for Colin.
Very good for her.
Mate, no wonder when Rooney gets fucked every time. That's what I tweeted saying that. Wayne Rooney is the type that tells his missus nothing about the Christmas day, but Jamie Vardy's the type that tells her absolutely. You get me? What about the guys?
He's got a wiretap, isn't he, Vardy? So she's listening to everything that's going on.
Somebody says it was her that got Brendan Rodgers to Celtic. And Leicester, sorry. You get the guys on Christmas day, so mate. I would love to name his name, but I can't. But
mate, I can't.
See, after every Christmas day, mate, at Swindon, like, you'd have it obviously at the weekend, and then the next game would come on the Saturday. I would give my missus obviously the bare details, like nothing
where you
too
were
much.
Uh-huh. And you're
went to paintball and then a comedy club. It was rubbish. But then the next week she'd be, oh, you never told us that Callum got off a girl in that nightclub.
I can't understand
like, why the fuck would I tell you that? It's got nothing to do with you. But obviously it came for some detail.
Why would that happen? I can remember that happened in a mother Christmas night out where something had happened and one of the boys went home and told the missus, and the missus went and told the other players' missus, and there was a brawl in the changing room. Oh my god! But you keep that thing to yourself. Do you know what I mean? You know. But you're not saying, listen, there's nothing happening in a team like you. You might be there's a bird saying that you're having a laugh at them and all that. Mm-hmm. But if you then go and say that Slaney was with three birds, which is possibly going to happen, say you see Slaney was with three birds having a laugh and all that. If your missus is like, oh, why were you three birds? It's just part of the night out. You have a laugh, you express yourself, and probably more chance of no say. I would be.
With three birds.
Exactly.
Beats, you ever had anything like that?
I could probably.
You look like a dirty little deviant. Look near this table.
I could probably. I'm not going to, but I could probably name a couple that's Mrs. Knows everything that's going on.
Shocking.
Which. Listen, I was always a good boy, but. I still wouldn't need to go back and tell anybody
every
anything.
Last detail,
It's none of your business.
How will imagine you were Jamie Vardy right now, so when your missus has done that, like, would you phone Rooney up?
She's an embarrassment. But see, the only thing is, I can't believe this has all came out about Becky Vardy, because see, when I went to the Liverpool game, she was sitting behind me, and
what somebody said on Twitter.
She was so nice to me, eh? She was honestly, genuinely, she was like, you're sexy in that.
But see, to be fair, Jamie Vardy looks like a bit of a chav, didn't he, man? If he wasn't a football player, he'd have a staffie and a pot noodle addiction, man. Would you phone Rooney up, please?
I don't know, it's a difficult one. Is it going to phone him up and say, listen, she's absolutely bang out of order, or is it going to phone him up and saying, what's she all about going public with that? Why is she not addressed it privately?
Do you think Rooney's going to phone Vardy?
Aye.
I don't know.
Rooney seems to type, doesn't he?
Rooney's a maniac.
They could top the bill and we're on boxing.
You could be undercard.
Remember Rooney get whacked out with Barnsley?
I don't know if that was that.
No, mate, so.
Aye, pals, that was banter in the house, wasn't it?
Absolutely new, that time, remember?
By the way, Bardo can go somewhere, apparently.
Can he?
I think he's well conditioned in the sport of mixed martial arts.
I
think he's trained quite
a bit. I would love.
Sure, there was a story about him and Paul Le Guin, no?
I would love to get, rather than boxing, get into mixed martial arts. Wrestling and
wrestling. Why don't you speak to Gary Holt? He does karate.
And rolling
Nicky Devlin told us the other day at the coffee that he actually does karate moves on the boys, didn't he?
Before games. See, no, I know they always have a laugh in this show, but supposedly the starting 11 stunned with a board, chalking board, and Gary Holt goes a line them all. kicking the chalkboard, didn't he?
But he has a black belt, but he deliberately wears a yellow belt to match his eyebrows and hair. Right, well, we'll see Vardy and Rooney. Go for it now, Jink.
I need to seem like proper blokes, yeah. I think they'll sort it out. Right. The two of them. I thought Vardy had a bit about him, but listen, if your missus is doing that, that's
he doesn't speak order. To his family or not because of her.
She is decent though, eh?
I don't think so, not for me, mate.
Nah, she's shite.
Head like a staffy.
Aye. She looked nice that day at Anfield.
And she was having you.
Aye.
You could be the man to split them up.
So, genuinely, I always talk shite, but she did keep staring at me, eh? Right. I don't know if she was just in, why is that guy beside me? I don't know. Or why does that guy keep staring at me?
Right, Larson and Kite. Surprise story this week. Henrik Larsson looks set to take over at South End with Dirk Kuyt as his assistant. Odd fit that. Now Dirk Kuyt has got a face like a leather couch. He can make a suitcase out of him. But you think your old mate Larsson will do well, Beats?
I cannot for the life of me understand why this guy wants to go to South End.
The worst club in the world.
I think they're the 23rd or 24th in League One. Surely with guys of this calibre, Champions League winners, etc. If you're going to go in somewhere and you're going to take over somewhere, surely you're going to be something that's half about that you've got a chance of creating a wee project with. Yeah.
Is there a bit of money behind that? Somewhere?
That's a million miles for anywhere that I would have thought Larsson wants to be. I know he's been down there the last few weeks, and then their chairman's been out to Sweden, etc. to go meet with him and speak to him. But so it's been in the pipeline for a few weeks now. But
you think you'd make a good manager?
Do you know what? I don't really know him. Never get that close to him. Like,
was he close with any of the boys, Beats?
Lambert? He would chat with the kind of maybe the older lads, the senior pros, but
wasn't a people person?
No, he wasn't. No, which is why I'm having trouble saying you would be a good manager, because I don't know what his man management style would be like.
He's not started well, is he? As a manager,
Helsingborg hasn't done too great.
He's done well either any club he's been at. So,
is that quite you fan of him?
I actually think that quite though. He was one of the players.
He was a striker that should have played fullback, innit? He just ran about tackling people.
I hated watching him.
Every goal was a slide tackle. Strike the ball for a minute, mate?
I hated watching him. Hated watching the guy. So I don't know. I don't understand that duo.
I'll tell you what, he done all right though, didn't he?
Oh, what career he had.
Torres and Gerrard alongside.
He must have been mentally strong.
Mate, he is going to get a shock though. Larsson, like, going into the bottom end of League One. Players, attitudes, that club South End. The atmosphere at the ground, I think you'll struggle. Eh?
Yeah, it's a poor choice.
I don't think Larsson will be a good manager.
Nah.
I love Larsson, he's my hero, but then when it comes to management, I don't think he'll be a good manager. I always judge people in the media when they talk. And I remember Jurgen Klopp went on before he was a manager. He was in the World Cup in Germany, and he supposedly blew everybody out of the water. Beckenbauer was on it with him. He was as unknown, he was a novice when he went on, and he went on the show and just blew everybody out. And you look at Pep as well. Pep reminds me a lot of Freddie Mercury. I watched that program last night. I swear to God, eh? By the way.
In what way?
That was shite, that movie.
If we went through that to that.
No, but
I don't get what you're saying, because there's some people that are brilliant on the telly and they're hopeless as managers.
I know. I just think, I can tell somebody's going to be good or no by listening to them. And it's crazy. See, Henry, I knew Henry was going to be rubbish. Didn't have a clue about the game, eh? See, when he talks, doesn't have a clue. I don't know if Larsson is that. I've not heard a lot of him, but
I just don't know how Larsson relates to League One players. I don't know how he relates to them.
Although you said that we had the carry on, he done well, mate. He didn't know much about League One, but then he had loads of money, mate.
I had plenty of money and it was mental.
Yeah, he had enthusiasm and
mad character that the players would buy into. But I don't think Henrik's got that kind of personality and that character that De Canio's got.
What about, see, the players you played with, is there anyone that you thought would be a great manager that's not in it?
Sean was the one that I thought was going to have his career, make his dough, retire and go play golf every day. And for long spells he was never interested in it. And then it was maybe when he went down to Wigan with Roberto where, you know, the penny dropped for him, and all of a sudden he was studying it, you know, every opportunity, and he's been on to absolutely kill it.
Do you think it was when he seen Martinez do that Jason Derulo dance?
Mate, what was that?
What was that, mate? He should never get another job again.
I remember when that came out, I just could not stop watching it. I couldn't actually take in what he was trying to do.
He's right in the frame for the Barca job, isn't he?
Is he?
He's favourite for the Barca job at the minute.
Wow, imagine me Sean at Barca.
You know, and just after Sean got the assistant job at Belgium, and the Madrid job came up, Roberto was 94 favourite for the Madrid job. Wow. So Sean's going for assistant at Celtic 20s to potentially assistant manager at Real Madrid.
See, saying that, I actually watched Sean do a session because I was intrigued to see how he was, and he was bawling and shouting at me. Like, I couldn't believe it, because really? Remember as a player, like, he was quiet. Yeah. And then he took the 20s, I went up and watched it deliberately because I knew Sean was coaching, and he was brilliant, mate. He was on them constantly. Like,
but he's got a... He might be a sort of...
His drills are brilliant, mate.
Keeps his selling quiet, but he's... He's got a bit about him.
Aye, he's got that character.
Mate, some player, wouldn't he be? Aye, what a player he was. Amazing, really good player.
I think he's the man that's going to change this country forever.
Wow, there you go. Anyone else that you played with that you thought would have been a manager that's not went in it? Great question off the cuff there, innit? What about you? Sorry, anyone that you played with you thought he could be a manager?
James Forrest.
He'll be coaching dodgeball with you when he finishes, won't he? Anyone beats that in that Celtic team, there must have been a big...
Probably, I'm thinking Davy Weir. And it lasted about 12 games. He went into Sheffield United and lasted 12 games.
I wonder what it is, with management, how... I can't believe, like, Maradona, they're the best players ever to play the game, but when it comes to management, they just can't do it. I find it mental, eh?
You need to put your life in it. I thought, mate, they boys can't do that, eh? It needs to be a 24-hour job. Like, I can imagine Sean getting obsessed with it, eh? And doing it every all day, and then he goes home and thinks about it and does things on the laptop. I can imagine Sean doing
that.
I think you need to be that type now, don't you?
This might be wrong, but I actually think I did a debate with somebody. I actually think you need to be super smart to be a top manager.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, super clever, like, the way...
We've got degrees or not,
aye. Supposedly Sean's doing a degree.
Right.
And what?
I don't know. It was great with wee Sean, he was in the Batman movie. The new Joker movie, wee Sean. It was brilliant. It was superb, wee Sean.
No, that was Stevie Lawless.
Oh, Stevie Lawless. It was. Do you know
his brother?
Do you know, I'm not never to lie, maybe Stevie Lawless goes to mini golf. He thinks it's real golf.
Big Tosny came for you as well, Harry Bum.
Tosh did?
Why these
guys that have no got...
Try to get famous off you.
Oh, come on, give it up. You've got nothing on me. You've nothing. Tiny personalities. They cast my Uzi's after me.
Right, Beats, we're talking about management. We're going to put the question on you. Why are you not doing it?
I'm working towards it at the minute.
And what does that mean?
I've done my B licence. With my day job, I've had to do an HNC and SVQ last year, so I couldn't then go on to do the A licence. So it's kind of, for me, it's on the horizon. I've kind of signified my intent for a couple of jobs, and it's something that I would like to get into. I've done a wee bit of coaching with Motherwell under 15s at the minute, in the academy.
Senior boys scored at the weekend as well.
Your man nicked a goal at the weekend with under 14s. So it's something that's on the horizon. But you know what it's like, so it's difficult trying to balance working life, family life, and pushing for.
What I would say, Beats, I remember I came into Stirling and you were taking training. I thought it was exceptional. Honestly, sir, I thought you were exceptional, the way you set up your discipline and
your discipline.
Just the boys were, you were,
oh, you would not boys away with stuff.
And it was just done, it was properly, it wasn't like this guy coming in.
That's what you're asking for when you're part time, isn't it? To be done.
It wasn't somebody going about backing orders, but it was done and the boys knew it was done properly. And I felt sometimes you need to be like that. See, when you go in there and it's like a laugh and a joke. No, I love a laugh and a joke. Away, but when it comes to training, there's no point in turning up if it's going to be a mess about and a fuck about. You need somebody that's going to be strict on you and be hard on you. And I believe Beats could be, will he be the number one to Sean or the number two to Sean?
Oh, wow. Could you see that happening,
I
Beats?
Feel that could be an unbelievable deal.
Probably no.
Why not?
I'm going to WhatsApp him as soon as I get out here. All right, mate, what's happening?
How was Slaney to coach?
An absolute joy when he listens. Uh-huh. I've said before, he had the ability. Once you get the carry on out, he said he was a top player. And he was enthusiastic as well, which is what you want.
Genuinely, when I got to a stage, it was through my whole career, my whole life. Sometimes when I was training or on a pitch, my head was everywhere. I was thinking about everything else rather than the game side. So I remember, I don't know if I told you about the one I stared at the floodlights and got the game stopped.
No.
During the game, I kept staring at the floodlights. So I said to the referee, was it Lenny? No, it wasn't Lenny. It was my mother, actually. So I said to the referee, we need to stop the game because the floodlights are too bright. So the referee's literally was like, what are you talking about? I said, well, we can't play until they get dimmed down, the floodlights. So me and the ref start, so all the boys start shouting at me, saying, get on with the game. But in my head, I couldn't play because the floodlights made me feel blind on the pitch side. Now, that's what I'm saying. The reason, but this is what I'm talking about. The reason that... My head was just million miles away at times. Sometimes it was there, sometimes it wasn't. Now, that game, for about 10 minutes, I was staring at the floodlights. Now, that isn't normal. Doesn't matter. If you're Messi and Messi staring at the floodlights, he's not going to be the player he is, si. Yeah. So I have to get to the root seed problem with that and see what was causing that, because it still happens, si, that my head goes everywhere but the actual thing I'm trying to do, if that makes sense.
Nae sense
at all.
So what I would say is it not because you don't like the light shining on your face?
Aye, because when, as everyone knows, when that light shines, you see
is that how you can see my runs because the floodlights are in your eyes.
Another one I want to ask you about beats John Kennedy.
Big Kendall.
There could be a wee partnership, Kennedy and Maloney.
Do you know, that's a wee interesting one.
I think Scotland. Celtic, yes, please.
Would you take Sean and Kendall, would you?
I think they're still really close, but for you, obviously, John was in the coaching a long, long time before Sean. But Sean's kind of closed or maybe took over that gap there with Sean. So it'd be interesting if one of them gets a job, because they are really close. And whether if Sean got a job, John would be interested in going in as his number two or vice versa. Aye. You know, I wonder if they'll have a wee ego off at some point and say, well, I don't want to be your number two.
By the way, maybe Kendall could have been a top player.
Oh, my God.
I was asking you, Si, about that the other day, actually.
Mate.
This is no word to lie, right? See at the time that he got injured, see if I had the choice, I'd have took John Kennedy over John Terry.
Wow.
On my kid's life. Honestly, we used to hand out the bibs in training for the game, and the first thing I would do was see if I had the same colour of bib as Kendall. Like, he was horrible.
Was he similar to a John Terry type player?
Aye, just honestly, he was horrible. He could play, he could head it, he could run. If he was young, he was the same size when he was 12 and 13 as what he is now, by the way. Goalkeepers couldn't get the ball over the halfway line because of him. He'd be the ones that would go and
smash Sutton and all that, wouldn't he?
Aye, 100%, without a shadow of a doubt.
He had the mentality and all as well, didn't he?
He would also time it so that he could smash you. You know, that if the ball was coming and he could maybe get there and nick it, he wasn't interested. He would wait till the ball got to you and absolutely blitter you. He just loved it.
So you think he could have went to the top? And
the very, very top. Kendall could have went anywhere that he wanted to go, honestly. Wow. He was that good.
I do remember him being young, he was fucking unbelievable.
I mean, he Samuel Eto'o in his pocket.
He was the strongest man ever in the gym and that as well, wasn't he? Just a freak.
Eto'o in his pocket when Eto'o was in his prime and John was only a kid, he was honestly.
That was a new
camp,
wasn't it? Was it a man Marsh that played that
game? Rab gets sent off the first game here, I came off at half time and David came onto the game and then the both of them played the game over there. I think Kendall played here as well, actually. I think it was myself, Big John and Stephen Pearson were the three Scottish boys that started the game here.
See, when you think of that, boys. How many of you came through? Obviously, the Wallace, it was odious.
Ridiculous.
Does it annoy you now that there's not a lot coming through?
You were getting game time
with big, massive players, do you know what I mean?
It doesn't annoy me, but
Celtic's probably been one of the best teams at the end of that.
See, over a spell of about 3 years there, right, there was probably 12 or 13, maybe 14 full internationals when you go back to Liam Miller, Colin Healy, Stephen Craney, myself, Marsh, Michael McGovern, Aidan McGeady,
and Big Charlie.
There's more. If I was to sit and go through them all, I think Big Goodwin was capped with Ireland as well. Maybe Mick Doyle.
Mickey Doyle would have been capped.
Jamie Smith. There was just a group of players over 3 or 4 years that, from a youth team and a reserve team, just all became international footballers.
Wow. Why is it not happening now then?
Question.
It's a million-dollar question.
That's a good question.
Where's the man answer it going, Paul?
The game's just changed.
Love how he loves his tone.
The game's just changed, and I believe it is in life now. When I coach, the majority of kids I coach, do you know who the most amazing kids are who from Poland? See that.
I love how you can.
Let him finish here because I'm going to try and pick up something that he's getting to.
See, we've got. But, five out of, just say 100 kids, right? We've got about 6 Polish kids. They're exceptional at football, right? Exceptional at football. But do you know the best thing? See their respect, their manners. See after every session, thanks for the session. Always so respectful, smile on their face, playing, just love football. I don't know, I think they've still got that mentality of respect. Your kids nowadays don't have that. It's totally changed. I believe kids in this country now believe they've got the same rights as an adult and they can speak to an adult any way they want. They don't need to listen to you. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
Maybe
I'm wrong.
I just think it's all changed now. Like I remember a fight broke out in a school when I was doing it. This was years and years ago. And I went to stop it and the teacher went like to me, no, you're not allowed to touch them. And I said, what, am I going to let two boys batter each other at young kids? It's like, it's went wild, this, that you can't do it. But I just, the Polish kids that I work with are the most amazing, the respect, I don't know, Si, but I think you get what I'm trying to...
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, mate. Dinosaurs saying this speech, but how on you go?
Do you think the kids are too nice nowadays?
That's what I was going to say, but you sound like a dinosaur when you say that now, don't you?
Aye, because we were all street boys. We all learned to play football on the streets. All the boys I've mentioned to you, and see the list that I went through there. The boys were fucking horrible. Right? They were good lads, and they were good with each other, and they had the respect. But Mick Doyle, Jim Goodwin, John Kennedy, Cranzo, they were horrible, horrible, horrible guys when they had to be.
Yeah.
I think that's a big difference now. I think like the lads are all a wee bit nicer now. I think they're brought up soft. I think they're all nice. Probably in terms of what you just said there, if like you can't do this, you can't speak to them like that, you can't touch them there, you can't do this. I think they're getting raised soft. I think that's
but
the problem.
Like, honestly, like I know I see every kid, but I feel maybe a lot of kids, it's like they need respect. The respect's gone. When I was always brought up to always have respect, that's why I don't need it.
But that comes to parents, mate. Like, see, when I was younger, mate, if I was not doing well, and my dad went and seen a coach and he says he's not doing well, my dad'd be like, get your finger out, you need to do better. But see, now they blame the coach, they blame everyone else, they blame other players, he doesn't pass to him, he doesn't get enough of the ball, he's playing the wrong position.
That's, mate, you're
it's just
right.
Excuses
you're
everywhere now, mate. And I see it in players, first team players, mate. I watch first team players, young kids, who blame everyone. Once do they come in and go, sorry, lads. I'd never see that now, eh?
So I see, you're so right there with that. See, when I was young, right, and my dad was in the car, right, I said to my mum, I wasn't too happy with the coach there, what he'd done. He wouldn't say it in front of me, but he would say to me to work harder rather than go and blame the coach. Even if my dad thought it was the coach's fault, he would say to me, you need to work harder, don't be bailing or blaming other people. But I believe now that's all totally changed. And I know we went off topic, but we must try and get to the root of these on you go, sir.
Negligible.
That's us, lads. That's us done. That's everything covered. Anything else to say, Bates? Anything else you want to say?
No.
This is your last time on the podcast.
I'd just like to thank Kevin Kyle for turning up previously, and I hope he finds a new job soon.
Yes, cheers, lads.